Welcome to Tramlines, a podcast from Agri. I'm your host, Tony Smith, putting your questions to the experts. Today we're going to be talking with Petra Martin, Group Head of Health and Safety for Origin Enterprises and Agri, and Billy Hostel, Agri Agronomist. In this episode, we're going to be asking a really important question. Whilst we care for our crops, our animals, and the people around us, do we look after ourselves as well as we might do? What are some of the key health risks? And what can we learn from those who have real-life experiences to share? So, Petra, can we start with you? You know, why should we take note of looking out for ourselves?
I think, particularly in agriculture, you're running a business which relies on you being able to turn up day after day after day and be there for your business, for your livestock, for your family. And sometimes we're so focused on the outcome and we forget to focus on ourselves. And we are our biggest asset for a farming business. It's us as individuals. And if we don't look after ourselves, how can we look after our families? How can we look after our livestock? How do we look after our business?
Yeah, and Billy, it seems such almost a daft question. Why should we look after ourselves? But in farming, in agriculture, working in the outdoors, you know, why could that be different for us as people?
We only get one go at this, don't we? So we might as well make a good do of it. But we're all so busy. We all get busy with everything we're doing and things pass us by. And you might think, well, that can't be much to worry about. It doesn't hurt that much. I won't get it looked at until I've got some time. Or when does time ever come? You've just got to make a bit of time, haven't you, sometimes?
Yeah. And I guess for many of us, actually, you know, living in a rural community, making that time to go and see, for example, a doctor or somebody that can have a look at us isn't always quite as easy as it is maybe for others that are, well, maybe live in a more urban environment or live near to a town. Would that be a fair reason also why something gets in the way of us seeing somebody?
I think so, yes. You just got to do it sometimes, haven't you?
I think potentially, and also, you know, people are very used to being very self-sufficient as well. So dragging yourself down your GP, making a GP's appointment, which at the moment could take a while to make, whether as opposed to just getting on with the next day, I think is actually the harder option to take sometimes.
And so with that in mind, what makes our industry different when it comes to risks to our health? What do we have to look out for more so than perhaps other industries? Petra, maybe you can help us there.
I think it's also quite relevant to farming, the fact that farming is a bit of an aging population, and pretty much all health conditions affect you to a greater degree, or you the chances of you of getting an ill health condition increase as you get older, and that's just life. So I think we've got to be aware that we're not superhuman. We are going to struggle sometimes, and we just need to be aware of the risks. And we've had conversations before, Tony, talking about the immediate physical risks of working on a farm, but the health risks are so much longer term that sometimes you just overlook them. So be it exposure to sunlight. When we see it, we're recording this in the depths of winter, but you know, during the summer, when you're outside day in, day out, the skin exposure, the risk of skin cancer, the risk of respiratory disease if you're working in dusty environments, there are lots of specific risks that also we need to be aware of, and we need to be aware of the signs and symptoms of those kind of ill health conditions, so that we can make that decision to go and visit the GP when something's not right.
And so, Billy, what gets in the way of us being comfortable having that conversation, whether it's with a professional medical practitioner or just with a friend sharing a concern?
We've got an awful lot better than we used to be in this industry and maybe in society. But I think we do talk to each other a lot more than we ever used to. And I think we're better at opening up. And I think society has changed a bit to allow us to do that, or maybe we're all just a bit more open-minded going forward. But I think even the older generation will consider having a chat now that they maybe wouldn't have had 20, 30 years ago. But if you've got a worry, share it and generally be told by a colleague or a friend or a customer, even get to the doctors, you idiot. But a worry shared is often halved or even acted upon, maybe.
And I think that's a really good point there, Billy. And Petra, from your perspective, how willing and how comfortable do we feel about sharing our concerns or worries with others?
Do you know, I think women might actually probably be better at this than men. I think I hate to say it, but once you've had a child, you know, all of your worries about embarrassment and showing bits of your body to people and talking about bits of your body kind of goes out the window. So I think women are better, and women probably talk to each other more as well than you gentlemen might. You might disagree with me, but
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. So look, that's great news, isn't it? So what we're both saying is that actually, you know, people are good at encouraging their friends to go and seek a bit of help, and maybe we are much more open about talking about our concerns than as you said, Billy, we were maybe, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago for sure. So Petra, let's pick one or two of these areas up and just talk about them for a second or two. So, in terms of exposure, and you hinted about this in terms of exposure to sunlight and therefore the risk of skin cancer, you know, how prevalent is that in our industry where we work outside?
Incredibly so. So, in fact, there's statistics around work-related skin cancers. So, exposure to sunlight that then causes a skin cancer because of your job. Agriculture comes in second only to construction workers, and 23% of the work-related fatalities from skin cancers are from the agricultural industry. So, 23%. It's really high.
So, as a proportion of those diagnosed, there's a very significant proportion that come from our industry. That's quite startling, isn't it? That is really quite startling. Why is that? I mean, I know we work outside, but so do construction workers, so do other workers. Is it because we're not looking after ourselves enough? Why do you think it is the case?
Again, but obviously the main risk is down to exposure. So you're working in an outdoor environment pretty much day in, day out. And then there's the awareness. So the awareness of the risk and awareness of skin cancer generally has again increased massively over the last sort of decade or so. But you know, people are outside in because you enjoy being outside, and there perhaps isn't a thought to wearing sunscreen, putting a wide-brimmed hat on. Making sure you've got your long sleeve shirt on, you're just outside enjoying it. And I think the construction industry has got far better because it's more managed, and perhaps the agricultural industry is lagging behind a little bit. So we just need to get more used to taking those precautions. But again, you know, who carries your sunscreen in the tractor? I suggest some do, but most probably don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. I dug out some statistics as well, and here from the Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, which is the world's chartered body for safety and health professionals, they're talking that in Britain there's about 1,700 people are diagnosed every year as a direct cause of occupational sun exposure. I'm sure you'll have your stats as well, but it's a significant number of people, and it is the most common type of cancer in the UK. So it's something we have to take very seriously, isn't it? And Billy, what do you think it would take to encourage us all to wear sunscreen more often when we're working outdoors?
It has to be routine, and it has to be with you in the vehicle you're using. I think I notice that the sun begins to burn in March, usually end of March. Those cold, bright days, you're still wearing a coat, and then the tops of your ears tingle at the end of the day. And you're, oh, hang on a minute, it's March now, and it's already started. Because if I've got this right, late March, the sun is a similar height in the sky to late September, maybe mid-September. I forget exactly, but it's significant, and it starts, and you just have to start wearing the hat and start slopping the sun cream on.
Yeah. So do you wear sunscreen when you're going out walking these fields?
I do now, and it's taken me until the last few years to really get into the habit of it. But it has to be a habit you start to adopt, I think.
And do you wear your Agri wide-brimmed hat, Billy?
I do. Apart from I'm in quite a windy part of the country, it tends to blow off a lot, so that is an issue.
You can do it up. back. So last year, Tony, we sent out wide-brimmed sun hats to all of our agronomists, anybody who worked outside predominantly, rather than the reliance on the baseball cap style hat, which so many people do, which doesn't protect the back of your neck or the tops of your ears, which as Billy's just talked about. So we've got some rather fetching agri wide-brimmed hats around and about, which hopefully customers will see people wearing in the height of summer.
We are giving every listener a copy of the FCN's Fit for Farming booklet. There is a separate version for men and women. Simply email your address to info@agri.co.uk and request the version you would like to receive, and we will send you one in the post. Thanks, Petra. So let's move on now and talk about testicular cancer. According to the NHS, it's a relatively rare type of cancer, accounting for just 1% of all cancers that occur in men, with around 2,300 men diagnosed with testicular cancer each year. And I'm assuming here that early diagnosis is, again, really very important.
Yeah, exactly. It is about early diagnosis. And again, you're talking about an age bracket who do generally think that they're not going to succumb to anything and superhuman, as well as still in that very much embarrassment phase. You know, something's not quite right here, but I don't particularly want to go and show this to my doctor. And I think getting over those concerns that people might have, because ultimately with something like a testicular cancer, you've got to get in, and any cancer, you've got to get in there quickly to get ahead of it.
And Billy, what can we do to encourage us men folk to be more self-aware and to be more willing to speak to somebody when we notice something is different?
Well, I think there's some good campaigns out there. Anyone who's ever stood in the rugby club notices the oddballs campaign go on lots of the time. That's very good. It just gets people happy to talk about it. And I think just the passed on experience that, if, as Petra says, an early treatment for cancer is far more easier than a late treatment. Get those lumps checked when they're small. Don't wait till they're the size of a golf ball.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we notice something different, get it checked out as soon as you can. Petra, breast cancer for women is, you know, sadly very widespread. You know, I'm sure most women are very, very aware and self-aware and talk openly about this, but what can be done to encourage more women to notice changes, or what can be done to help reduce those symptoms becoming something that's more devastating?
Again, it is awareness, because so my personal cancer journey was with breast cancer, and I think everybody knows that if you feel a lump, you feel a change, that you should go to the GP. But I often think, and certainly in my case, you tend to hesitate because you think, oh, I don't want to make a fuss, it's probably nothing. Or if many women suffer from cysts and things like that in their breasts, they may have had changes in their breasts before, and I did. And therefore you think, well, it's going to be that again and it'll be fine. And so you wait a bit longer, and then you know, something else happens and you just keep pushing it back. And I think what we need to do is really raise the awareness that that's not the answer, that no, you're not going to waste a doctor's time if you go in and it's nothing. Everybody's going to be happy with that as an outcome. You know, and these any concern you have will be taken seriously. It will get checked out and quite quickly. And the NHS are still, you know, working on that sort of 2-week timeline. And it happens amazingly quickly. So as soon as you start to be concerned about something, you are getting answers, you are getting somewhere. So, yeah, just I think that awareness, breast cancer particularly, I think the sort of social media comms and things like that and the campaigns that are out there, people know what to look for, but often bury their head in the sand when it actually happens to them.
Thanks, Petra. Billy, let's talk about prostate cancer, which is the most common cancer in us men. According to Prostate Cancer UK, more than 52,000 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year on average. That's 144 men every day. Quite startling. But the stats also showed that around 490,000 men are living with and after prostate cancer. And we're talking about awareness here. Billy, let's ask you the question. Do you know what to look out for when it comes to prostate cancer?
Not huge, to be honest, other than get symptoms checked. And just bearing in mind I've gone through a process with a different cancer. I know it's incredibly prevalent because of the fellas I sat and chatted to in the radiotherapy suite. And they were nearly all there with prostate cancer, it seemed. But it's something that is regular in men, and especially older men, but it can affect anyone, any age, of course. And you've just got to get symptoms checked, get it done. And as exactly as Petra says, no one at the doctors will doubt you for coming in with symptoms and having them checked.
Yeah. And do we have to be experts in the symptoms, or should we just be aware of something's different?
Yes, if something's different, get it looked at. And they'll be happy to review it for you.
Yeah. And Billy, I know you have your own experience. You just hinted at that just now. You're in the radiotherapy suite yourself. But from your point of view, what could you have done differently? What would you like to have been aware of in your journey that maybe could have helped you?
Well, in my journey, it happened in April, May when we're at our busiest, and I had a lump in my throat, which developed to be tonsil cancer. And so I thought, well, I've got a bit of tonsillitis just on one side. That's unusual. Anyway, I did eventually go to the doctors, but being a bloke as I was at the time and busy, I would poke it a bit with a pencil or whatever. Anyway, it doesn't hurt much. It can't be that bad. So I didn't go. And when I did go, I was given antibiotics anyway because they thought it was tonsillitis too. And it was actually my third visit before someone said, uh-oh, and as Petra says, it escalates very quickly from there. And I was incredibly fortunate that I had a fairly benign form that responds very readily to treatment, and cut up and zapped and dosed, and a few months later I was back at work basically. So I count myself as one of the incredibly lucky kinds. But it was quite an experience. In the same way, I wouldn't want to repeat it, but for those of us with a curious mind, which many of us in this industry are, I'd never been in a hospital to any extent at all, other than the children being born. And I met all sorts of people and all sorts going on. And
And Petra, I can see you want to say something. What do you want to add?
I'm going to come in with a prostate cancer story. So prostate cancer again in my family. So my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer at the age of 48. He'd ignored the symptoms for a long time. My father was a military man, quite similar in mindset some ways to agriculture. You just get on with it. So it's another pain, and he ignored it for a long time. My brother was also diagnosed at the age of 48. So both very early diagnoses for prostate cancer. But my brother, because of the family history, was getting checked. He was very hyper aware of the signs and symptoms. So his was picked up incredibly early. He had some relatively minor surgery. He might disagree with that, but relatively minor. And he's absolutely fine. My father died when he was 52. And so the only difference between the two of them is that awareness and that speed in reaction, in terms of getting to the professionals.
Thanks, Petra, and that makes perfect sense to me. Billy, what do you think? Do you think that makes sense in terms of good advice to those listening in today?
Yes, I think so. And equally, if in the unlikely, relatively unlikely case, most of the times you're checked, it won't be a problem. But when it is, if it is, don't get too daunted. It may be awful, but equally, here we all are talking about it afterwards, and dare I say, even have a bit of dark humour about it as well.
And Petra, what would be your closing thoughts today?
You're living a busy life. You're keeping everything going. You've got a farm that won't wait. You might have livestock that don't wait to be fed or milked. And therefore, you don't prioritise yourself. But actually, if you're not there, none of that happens. So you've got to keep yourself as a priority as well.
Thank you, Petra and Billy, for sharing your stories and helping to bring some awareness as to how we can all look out for ourselves a little bit better simply by checking our bits and bobs. And don't forget, we're giving every listener a copy of the FCN's Fit for Farming booklet. There is a separate version for men and women, so simply email your address to info@agri.co.uk and request the version you would like to receive, and we will send you one in the post. That's it for this podcast, but do tune in again as we meet the experts throughout the season, exploring the many immediate and longer-term questions for growers and farmers in the UK. If you have any questions that you would like us to ask the experts, email info@agri.co.uk. See you next time.